This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Welcome to the Bloomington Review. May 26th, Memorial Day weekend, and school's out for summer, Dr.
Yeah, that music's playing in the back somewhere, Jim. I don't know if it's that or if it's Cooling the Gang Celebrate. One or the other.
You know, when you're a little kid, you know that the teachers go into the teacher's lounge, and it's kind of this secret little world that you're not allowed into. So on the days when the last day of school, do all the teachers go in there and break out some schools out for summer? Or,
we play it on the speakers
on
at
the
school
PA
for yes, when the bell rings for the kids to hear.
Do you really do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And then when the last bus pulls away, today it was 171 Regina Cobb. I love Regina. Last bus pulled away, then we hit the music again, and it's Cooling the Gang Celebrate. So. We have a good time.
Oh, that's awesome. A
couple retirees and just fun.
What do you have in terms of teacher days now? Do they come back
just Tuesday.
Next week?
Just Tuesday, that's it. Okay. And then I'm there for another couple weeks. And then lots and lots of construction going on in MCCSC. And I know Dr. DeMoos covered some of that with Keith and Glass in the morning, but lots of projects coming up. Elevator at Binford, new roof for us. Some things at Lakeview. As well, just all over the place. This is the time where Chris Scioli, who's outstanding, and his gang jump into action with Tim Pritchett from IT and right. those guys together really just get on. This is their busy time of the year. Okay. It's everything from cleaning and painting and landscaping and maintenance and new devices, new computers, reimaging computers, all that stuff like that. That's what happens in the summer. So there really is some downtime for the teachers, some, not much. Yeah. But for the hard working folks in building services and IT, they're on it.
I don't want to be the bad guy, but starts what, early August?
August 7th, August 8th. I'll have to look that up for
you. The first week of August, roughly.
Yeah, so. It's the first day of school for MCCSC will be August 9th. It's a Wednesday this year. So okay. Teachers will be back on the 7th and the kids come on the 9th. That's MCCSC. So it'll be here before we know it. Until then, what a beautiful, beautiful day today. Weather was great. Sounded like a lot of the buildings had fun activities going on, and a bittersweet for some of our retirees. And, yes. We'll thank them at the end of the show. But a nice day for
good.
Everybody, and I think across the board. So hopefully that happens. And graduation next weekend for North and South and Edgewood.
And Edgewood,
I believe
all
three are all next Saturday, which I believe is the 3rd.
It's in one of the news bits that I
printed
off.
It's June 3rd.
Yes.
Yep, so.
Anyway, well, congratulations.
School's out for the summer.
Yes, very nice feeling. I remember those days.
And again, you'll get my famous Facebook post on Tuesday where
go to Target.
Yep, go to Target about 1 o'clock. It's going to be awesome. The only bad thing is that the weather's supposed to be perfect, if I'm not mistaken, for Tuesday. If it was raining and you were at Target on Tuesday, it would be even more amazing.
Woo-hoo! We have a packed show tonight. Craig Hickman, he's the Vice President of Sales for ProBlue IT. He's going to be in the studio in just a few minutes talking about the recent global computer hacking situation that's been going on between Russians and North Koreans and hospitals in the United Kingdom and ransomware and all these different things. Craig's coming in to explain a little bit about it, more so on the tips of how you protect yourself. He was in actually earlier this week to record the interview. That's why you won't hear Dr. Pillar in the middle of this program. But Craig was...
Stay tuned in, though. It'll still be
good. Yeah,
don't worry,
good.
Everybody.
Don't,
Mom, stay in
Mama
there.
Mama Pillar, stay
don't,
on.
Don't turn the channel.
Yes. You may not have government documents sitting on your hard drive or on your desktop or anything, but by the same token, you probably have photos that are important to you, maybe some legal documents, a variety of things, and all of that stuff can potentially be at risk. So we're going to talk with Craig about that here in just a little bit and see what he has to say. Memorial Day weekend, of course, so many people have a 3-day weekend this weekend. We'll be going out paying respects for loved ones. I honestly hate to admit this. I didn't realize that Memorial Day was designed exclusively for veterans who had passed away. I thought it was anyone who passed away, but I had a little lesson today at work.
Well, good.
So
it's important to learn every day, Jim.
It is. Not that I would ever deny it, you know what I mean? Just didn't realize it was all under that. So we're going to take a break, though. Come back, get your forecast for the weekend, some local news as well. Craig Hickman again in the middle of the show. And then when we get into the sports action, plenty of stuff. 13 innings for the Hoosiers this week.
Yeah, but it ended in a win. That's all that matters.
That's exactly right. Big Ten baseball tournament out at the BART this weekend. So we'll talk a little bit about that and more. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and WGCLRadio.com for the live stream and the podcast. We'll be back in a couple moments. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and Dr. David Pillar here. Craig Hickman in just a little bit from ProBlue IT. Slightly less wet weekend than it was last weekend.
Yeah, not too bad, Jim. Friday night, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 11 p.m. Patchy fog after 4 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy. Low around 64. Saturday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms later in the afternoon. Patchy fog between 8. Otherwise, mostly cloudy. High near 80. And we're going to be optimistic, Jim. We're going to say partly sunny instead of mostly cloudy. So how about that? Partly
sunny. That works.
Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms likely mainly after 2 a.m. So overnight stuff. Sunday, probably showers and thunderstorms likely mainly before 8:30. Mostly cloudy. High near 78. So if you're going to the race, you probably want to take a poncho, probably want to stay dry.
A light wrap?
Light wrap, as long as it doesn't absorb water, Jim. You want something that will repel the water when you're working on your wraps. But otherwise, I'm going to say stay at home and listen to the race on WGCR Radio. It would be the 101st running of the greatest spectacle in racing. So do that. And then Monday, enjoy what looks to be a really nice Memorial Day. Sunny, high near 79, almost 80. Tuesday, same deal, sunny and 77. So all your weather all the time, WGCLRadio.com.
IU Health Bloomington Hospital, they've been verified as a Level 3 trauma facility by the American College of Surgeons Committee on Trauma. Well, what does that mean? It makes IU Health Bloomington the only Level 3 trauma facility in the region. Before, the closest hospitals were IU Health Methodist Hospital and Sydney and Lois Eskenazi Hospital, both of those being in Indianapolis. Trauma Medical Director Jason Kennard for IU Health Bloomington said there's a shortage of trauma centers in the state of Indiana, and in fact, there are 5 verified Level 3 trauma centers in the state, 6 more in the process of verification, which is what Indiana relies on to evaluate these trauma centers. In order to receive the verification, IU Health Bloomington applied to have a consultative visit from the American College of Surgeons. They sent representatives out to look at the hospital's trauma department, look for deficiencies, and suggest ways to improve. Over the last 12 months, that work has taken place, and they applied for the official verification just recently. Access to a trauma center, of course, is important for life-threatening injuries. And interesting number here. Studies by the Indiana State Department of Health show mortality rates can be reduced by as much as 15 to 25% when people are treated at a verified trauma center. So kudos to the IU Health Bloomington Hospital.
Sounds like a good one. Also a good one here, Jim. A newly formed partnership between Centerstone and the City of Bloomington will put people experiencing homelessness and housing instability to work with a city park beautification program. The pilot program, set to debut in early June, will employ 3 to 5 eligible individuals with about 20 hours of work per week. Hired and supervised by Centerstone, a not-for-profit organization that provides addiction and counseling programming, those selected for the program will perform custodial work at 4 Bloomington parks: Seminary, Reverend Ernest D. Butler, Building Trades, and People's Park. Sounds good, Jim. I really like this. Officials say the program is more than a parks beautification program. It will also teach so-called soft skills, such as interpersonal and time management skills, and in result, a paycheck. Program participants will be paid $10.41 per hour by Centerstone to clean restrooms, pick up trash, and sweep sidewalks. In turn, Centerstone will be reimbursed for the employee's hourly rate and FICA taxes through the City of Bloomington's Parks and Recreation Department budget, a $12,000 portion of the budget that is already dedicated to paying for seasonal employees. That hourly rate of $10.41 is what's typically paid to seasonal parks employees, said City Communications Director Mary Catherine Carmichael. Participants will likely be offered 4 to 5 hour shifts 7 days a week. Carmichael said parks and recreation officials will train program participants to ensure that the parks meet city standards. Members of the pilot program will be considered Centerstone employees and will undergo multifaceted background checks. Centerstone's director said participants will be covered by Centerstone's liability insurance, a benefit of working with a larger organization that May said other partners might not have been able to provide. Although many existing Centerstone employees do undergo a drug test due to separate contractual obligations, neither the city nor Centerstone will require participants to submit to a drug screening prior to working. Many details have yet to be cemented. However, it's uncertain how the program will handle payment for those without bank accounts or with limited access to banking. Also uncertain is just how workers will be chosen to fill the positions. But again, nice little pilot program, 3 to 5 people. See if we can get some legs to this, and then it could be something really great.
It very well could. The Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce hosted their annual Women Excel Bloomington Awards, their web awards, on Wednesday this week, and seven local women were honored for a variety of accomplishments in mentorship, leadership, and community outreach. Laura Clapper with Indiana University, she's an associate instructor of literature there. The first female battalion chief of the Bloomington Fire Department, Chief Tanya Daffron, co-owner of Buffalo's at the Gables, Jamie Schwartzman, and also Debbie Lemon, who is the secretary for the IU Board of Trustees. The chamber also recognized Reverend Mary Ann Macklin. Susan Rennie, I'm looking at the picture and not having the names in front of me, Susan Rennie from Life Designs and Susan Weir from First American Trust. 340 people at Hinkie Hall of Champions for lunch on Wednesday, Dr. Piller.
Were you there?
I was. This was my baby for the last 8 weeks or so.
And
glad we knocked this one out. Everybody was happy. Everybody left happy. And seven wonderful ladies to be recognized for a lot of accomplishments in town.
I like it.
Yeah.
Something else great, Jim. Summer of Service program was launched by the Bloomington Volunteer Network. And Bette Savage is a regular on the on the Glass show in the morning. So the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network has issued a challenge to Bloomington and Monroe County high school students to make this summer a summer of service. This new initiative challenges area high schoolers to log a collective total of 1,000 hours over the 10 weeks of summer from May 30th to August 8th. Teens wishing to participate should add their names to the SOS roster at bloomingtonvolunteernetwork.org/summer of service. And then use the website to search, browse, and connect to opportunities open to high schoolers. Teens must log their hours on the website in order for them to count towards the total. All community service hours logged by teens will go towards the 1,000-hour challenge. Those who log 20 or more hours will receive a personalized certificate of achievement and a note of congratulations from Mayor John Hamilton and the Bloomington Volunteer Network. All teens currently in high school or preparing to enter high school in the fall of 2017 are eligible to participate. In addition to assisting an established nonprofit organization such as Community Kitchen or Habitat for Humanity, service may be informal, such as assisting with chores for an elderly neighbor. The hours must be verified to be included and must be performed in Monroe County. Restricted activities include lobbying, compensated services, serving family, and church-affiliated activities. So more information, visit bloomingtonvolunteernetwork.org/summer of service.
We're going to take a break. Craig Hickman from ProBlue IT coming up in just a couple moments. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you, and welcoming back good friend of mine and the Vice President of ProBlue IT, Mr. Craig Hickman. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you, Jim?
I'm good. Before we get into our discussion of why you're here today, how was 100 Men Who Cook?
Well, we won Rookie of the Year.
You were telling me this before, but then we got sidetracked. So what is Rookie of the Year? I mean, is it just because this was your first year of cooking?
No, it was my first year of cooking, but also I raised the most amount of money as a rookie.
Oh, really? Congratulations,
thank
man.
Thank you.
What did you? What was on your menu?
I smoked brisket. Took me about 16 hours. I smoked two briskets, about 33 pounds of brisket.
Really?
And we made brisket sandwiches.
Really?
And we made sandwiches all night. We were busy all night making sandwiches.
33 pounds. Now, when I did 100 Men Who Cook, you had to have 100 servings. Is it still the same?
25
vibe?
Full servings.
Okay.
That's what I was told.
Okay.
So that's about still, two briskets would fill about 25 servings.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why we made sandwiches, because we had bread as a filler.
Uh-huh.
To help. But we had people walk up and just want brisket, which was fine.
I think it was the very first year, but I did homemade butter pecan ice cream. And did waffles so that you dip the ice cream on and then you put it on, like kind of like a waffle cone would be.
Gotcha.
So the first hour, it was homemade. The second hour, it became soft serve. The third hour became more of a milkshake. And fourth hour was the soup, yes. But it all, you know,
the brisket kept well. We kept it in a cooler, temperature controlled. So it was above around 160 when we served it. So it was good.
Congratulations on your Rookie of the Year, Chief.
Appreciate it.
Hopefully there's a baseball card with your face on it. I know you'll come up with
something
like
that. There are some pictures. Let's not talk about that.
Craig is the president, as I mentioned, of ProBlue Inc. and a wonderful IT company here in town. And I wanted to have him on. He's been on before talking about a variety of computer and technology issues. But this hack job that's been going on over the last couple of weeks, you talked about it at a downtown Bloomington business meeting a week or so back, and I heard you talk about it through the chamber and different things, and just kind of want to get your update of what is going on and how people can protect themselves. We talked before we went on the air about how there are patches out there and things, but people aren't taking advantage of those. So I don't even know where to begin with this because it's such a massive thing. It's not just your computer, but it's global, literally.
Correct. This particular variant was Windows-based. So those who had a Microsoft Windows machine, Windows XP forward, if they had not been properly taken care of the machine, they could potentially be infected.
Mm-hmm.
However, Microsoft patched this hole back in March. So those who got infected either had not been running their Windows update regularly or have an illegal copy of Microsoft Windows.
Right.
Microsoft went so far as to even patch Windows XP. That's how bad this was.
And Windows XP hasn't been around formally for
it hasn't been supported for several years now.
Yeah.
So, but there are still a lot of people that still run Windows XP. Mm-hmm. So anybody with Windows 7, 8, 8.1, 10, if you had not patched since March, you are susceptible to this potential virus.
And it's arriving through email?
Email, links. I've seen it come through Facebook.
Really?
If people have clicked on the wrong link in Facebook. So you can get it a variety of different ways,
mm-hmm.
but you just need to pay attention as to what you're doing and what you're clicking on.
And the risk is what? Is the risk losing everything on your computer? Is it stealing everything off of your computer? All the above?
It's not really pulling anything off your machine. The people who are doing this now have gotten very smart. They know that they cannot download a lot of information off of a computer very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to deploy a virus to your machine that starts encrypting the files on your local machine and then sending you a ransom to say, if you don't pay X amount of dollars or Bitcoin, we will not give you the key to decrypt your files. And I'm talking about everything on your machine. I'm talking your Word documents, Excel documents, your pictures, your movies. Mm-hmm. Anything of value in a machine could potentially be infected and encrypted, and you won't have access to the information anymore. The best defense for this, mm-hmm. before you even get to stopping it from happening, is having a backup. And I really don't care how you back up, as long as you have a copy
mm-hmm.
before the encryption occurs. And the backup could be to a thumb drive, an external drive, Mozy Pro, Carbonite, CrashPlan.
Right.
Something.
Right.
So that way, if you do have this happen, you can go back to your backup and put all your files back.
But can you, this is going to, now I'm going to get into my idiocy. Can you use your computer again? How do you know that it gets wiped off?
You're going to have someone, if you don't know if it's wiped off, you're going to have somebody make sure it's clean.
Because you go into the file search and you find the name of that file and you click delete, doesn't mean that it's gone.
Very true.
And so it's attached to some photo of your grandkid that, or whatever the case may be. And the next time you open it up, it's alive again.
You're going to have some nice antivirus software or anti-malware software running on your machine to make sure to clean up the virus. And even so, we've had machines that are so badly infected
mm-hmm.
that we've actually had to wipe the entire machine clean and start over.
Really?
Because it could not be. It was so embedded into the operating system or into the registry, we could not remove it from the machine.
So why do people do that? I mean, they're just being a jerk. Are they trying to get certain information? Because I'm the average guy. I don't have a lot of info to steal, per se.
But do you have information that's important to you?
Yes.
And would you, if you lost that information, would you pay to have
that
information?
That's what I don't know. Because I have taken your advice. I have an external hard drive every weekend. I've got a phone reminder, and I go in and back up.
So that's smart.
I've got it. So, and I don't use my laptop at home enough to really add a lot of new material every week, but just in case.
They're prying on people that have information that might be important to them,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they ask for a lot of money, depending on the size of the organization.
Right.
And sometimes they're only asking for $100, $200. But if you have 1,000 people pay $200, that adds up.
And these are the people who are taking it, as you mentioned, through Bitcoin, which we talked about one of the last times you were on the show, this imaginary coin.
Actually, Bitcoin's around $2,000 per coin right now.
But there's no coin. There's no physical entity. There's no quarter-size shaped object that
I will
drop
give you a
in.
Coin for $2,000 American.
Right. See, now you're getting into that virtual world that just makes no sense to me, but that's okay. What do they do? You can't give them your bank account number.
They would love to have that information.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Hopefully the person's going to be smart.
I've seen people go as they want you to go and buy a prepaid Visa card and then give them the numbers.
Give them the info. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's no guarantee that they're going to give you a key to get your stuff back.
There was one situation.
People aren't honest, even the dishonest ones.
Correct. Because once they have the money, they don't necessarily have to give you the encryption key to decrypt all your information. It's recommended that you don't pay because you're just, you know, improving. You know, everybody wants to do it now. You don't want to encourage it.
Right.
One situation was there was a bad ransomware, I think this was a couple of years ago, where it got shut down and it was still spreading and people were sending money to a hole, but nobody was collecting and there was nobody sending the key out. So that's another situation.
Really? So just it was just a growing bank account.
Yep. Money was going to a hole and I don't know if anybody was collecting it or getting any of the funds out of the account.
Oh my word. We're talking with Craig Hickman from ProBlue IT here in Bloomington. How is this impacting businesses? Because we're kind of talking a little bit more on the individual side of things, or can it hit an entire corporation, or does it hit one user in the business?
If you have a business and your machines are networked together and they can see each other, and let's say you have a central repository, let's say you have a file server where you, as users, connect and look at files amongst the whole group.
Right.
If one machine gets infected and it can see the same server, it can encrypt not only the files on the local machine, but all the files on the server as well that it has access to.
Okay.
So as a business owner, it's imperative that not only the machines be protected, but the server definitely needs to be also protected and backed up. We're seeing people not only back up their servers. Well, obviously, we have a lot. Everybody backs up their servers, right. But we're seeing people back up their desktops as well now. Because you have users that will store information on the server, but then will keep some files of importance on their desktop or in their My Documents folder that may or may not be replicated to the server. So we're seeing backups at the desktop level and also on the server level. As a business owner, if you were to lose all your information, and I see this as no difference as a fire. If you lose all your information, as in a fire or a ransomware, and you cannot get it back, can you function as a business? What the biggest problem I see with businesses, when they lose their, let's say, accounting data, they don't know who to bill. They don't know who owes them money. But all the people they owe money to, they know where they are.
Right.
So you need to make sure that the very important data is being replicated in more than one location. And you need to have more than one backup going. Because we have seen some ransomware encrypt the backup. So even though you have a backup copy, you need to check the backup copy every once in a while to make sure it's actually works. Because we have gone to situations where we've gone to the backup and we can't get it because it's encrypted or it's infected or it's corrupt.
Which is why you back up multiple times in multiple locations.
Yes.
Craig Hickman from ProBlue IT. We're going to take a break, come back with more on this computer hacking situation that all of us have been hearing about lately. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and Craig Hickman from ProBlue IT. We're talking about the recent hacking. I don't want to call it a what do you call it? Conflict situation? Gets into the war sounding versus a...
Well, it's definitely a lot of finger-pointing going on as to the origin, as to where it started.
I pulled this article from the New York Times from a week or so back, and they cannot confirm yet, but they're saying it's North Korean-based, one of these recent ones. And then there was the one a few weeks ago that there was a hack job in the United Kingdom, and it hit a bunch of the medical facilities over there. We are so tied to electronics that it's almost a problem. I mean, I would think that, you know, if the power goes out at your office, just for something simple like that, for an hour, you can be stuck because you don't have anything that you can access because you don't have a computer to do things anymore.
That's why we have batteries.
See, you got a plan for that one, Craig. All right.
No.
I don't have a laptop at work, so that's why. But
this type of... this got a lot of news because it was huge.
Okay.
It was probably one of the largest ones in the wild. I was surprised how much coverage it got. But I think it's also a wake-up call that it's not just the protection from the machines, but it's also education. Users need to be educated and be aware that this is an ongoing threat that's never going to go away. It's just going to get exponentially worse as time goes on. But you have to do your due diligence. And it's not just individuals for your home machine, but also businesses also need to be do their due diligence and make sure that they're properly applying the patches to their machines, updating mm-hmm. their antivirus, updating their anti-malware, and talking to their employees about things to look for. And when I say looking is when an email comes in and it looks great, look for the, what is there an attachment? It's like, does this person usually send me an attachment? Mm-hmm. They don't, like, don't open it.
Yeah.
Can come in as a PDF, a picture, a docx or a doc file. It come as a link to a website. The most common one is, I have a file that I've shared with you. Please click on it so you can view it. And then you click on it and it pops up and it says, hey, you need to log in to look at this file. Please enter your username and password for your email. And it could be, usually it's an Office 365 or a Google Drive, a Google Doc.
Okay.
So you pipe in your username and password and you just gave them
access,
the key
to
your email. Ransomware is going to always be a problem in regards to encrypting your hard drive. But the other one I've seen a problem is people storing sensitive information in their email. So I tell people, do not store information in your email that you don't want anybody to read, okay. including your bank information, your credit card information, anything that you don't want out in the open. Because if someone gets into your email account, the first thing they're going to start looking for is bank information, routing numbers. We've had people get their email account hacked and then create a fictitious email, looks legit, to ask for money to be transferred out of the account.
Okay, so two things about that. Number one, what if you have autocomplete on your computer? Turn it off? Because if you go to log into your bank account and it automatically knows when you start typing in 123 and it fills in 456789.
But that's typically encrypted, that information.
Can that be pulled, since it has that pre-fill idea, so to speak, when you go to XYZ Bank's website? You want to check your account. So you click on the log into my account and it's already got your username and password.
Personally, I would prefer the autofill.
Really? Okay.
Because you could have a key logger installed on your machine and not know it. And as you type in the information, it's being logged. It's autofilling in. It's not being key logged.
Okay.
And there's going to be people who are going to say no to that. There's going to be pros and cons to both sides. But I use a software package called LastPass, mm-hmm. and it's all encrypted. So I can't even see what the numbers are unless I log into that account and say, show it to me.
Okay.
So I don't even know what the information is. I don't even know how to get into my bank account online. I've actually have removed all that access. If I want to know what's in my bank account, I have to call them or go see them.
Really?
Because I don't want to have that information stored anywhere where somebody could, because there's way too many assets there for someone to easily get access to.
So you don't have a bank app on your phone?
Nope.
Okay.
I do not access my bank from my computer either. Another point about computer access is when you travel and you go to a hotel and you get on the computer kiosk in the hotel and you want to check your email, I do not recommend that, because you don't know if that computer is infected and could be capturing your username and password for your email.
So let's go broad then here, because this has been in the news a great deal lately, locally and across the country, about the level of Wi-Fi that is available for everyone. You and I went to lunch a few weeks ago.
True.
You have satellite radio, so there is kind of a connectivity to that. If you are traveling in a community that has public Wi-Fi, should you turn that off on your cell phone device? Because you don't really know what's going on.
If your phone is set to auto-connect to Wi-Fi without your knowledge, I would turn that feature off.
Okay.
I would go through your phone every once in a while, and it'll save Wi-Fi information. I would delete out the ones that you haven't used in a long time.
Okay.
When you go to a common area where there's a common...
You go to a coffee shop. You go to Starbucks.
Yeah, I mean, and the problem I've seen is that you go to Starbucks... can be a problem because you don't know who's there with their computer broadcasting the same SSID as Starbucks. And you get on their Wi-Fi and you start doing stuff.
So it looks like you've logged into Starbucks, but you've logged into the truck in the back parking lot.
Or the guy sitting at the table with his laptop.
Jesus is just, okay. Yeah.
And the same goes with hotel. I've been into hotel situations where I'm thinking on the hotel Wi-Fi, but I'm on a fictitious Wi-Fi.
Really?
And the one I don't like the most is the Xfinity Wi-Fi, because that is the most common one that is reproduced, and then most of the time is fake. And I like Xfinity Wi-Fi, but if I was a business owner, I would turn that feature off on my router with Xfinity.
Okay. Huh. Just amazing. Because, you, like I said before, you need your devices so much, but yet the connectivity you have to be.
I don't want to scare anybody. I think public Wi-Fi is great, and I use it a lot.
But you are not the average person in this aspect. I am. I am the one who I'll go into a store and need to look at something and see that they have free Wi-Fi, and I'll click on it. And that's what I would imagine 90%+ of all people do. They don't, because if they're in a building that has poor LTE, 4G, whatever reception, well, oh, there's free Wi-Fi, and it says XYZ store. Okay, I'll jump on. But as you said, you don't always know who's...
Yeah, you don't know who's generating the Wi-Fi. But even though you get on, let's say, a rogue Wi-Fi, and you access a website from your phone, typically that connection between you and the website, let's say a banking site, is encrypted.
Right. It'd the HTTPS.
Yes. If as long as it's encrypted, it'd be very difficult for them to decrypt that information unless they're very smart and they have an SSL decryptor and they're faking that, which could happen, highly unlikely.
Right. Right.
And people who are looking for this information are specifically targeting certain individuals with certain assets when they're looking for this. But again, the ransomware is a wide cast net. They're looking to get a lot of people to pay a lot of little money.
Yeah.
And it all adds up. Gosh. But then you got the larger organizations like the hospitals or the San Francisco Transit that got hacked.
Yes.
That lost
two or three days.
Yeah, and they didn't pay. They ran all the buses and the subway and paid all the employees.
It happened to a city in Indiana in the last year or so, didn't it?
It was down south.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. In Indiana. Yeah.
Southern Indiana? Okay. Yes, I'm not trying to be a doomsday person by a long shot. It's just when you're the average person and you just assume that you are protected and all of a sudden you get hit with something.
For your home computer, I would definitely invest in a better antivirus than the free one that comes with Microsoft. Pay the extra $60 or $80 a year, depending on what your flavor is, to have something that's decent, that's updated, every hour. That way you can protect yourself. And then I would also, if you surf the internet a lot, you want to clean off your cookies every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You want to run your malware scan every once in a while. If you download a lot, you definitely want to run a scan every once in a while.
Yeah.
So depending upon what you're downloading.
Uploading, can that be a problem as well? If you want to upload pictures to a photo, online photo album kind of thing. And I'm not talking social media, but I know that I have friends that do Shutterfly. And then they get these books, spring 2017 and things like that. Is uploading a risk? Because it's all funneling to, not coming back at you, so to speak.
Unless you were rerouted to a fake site.
Okay.
That's the only problem. But typically you can tell if you're not on the Shutterfly site. You can look at the URL at the top. And if it doesn't look right, then you're obviously at the wrong site.
Right.
But there's a lot of fake sites out there that mimic legitimate sites.
Mm-hmm.
And it ranges from a full Dell store. I've seen that where you go to Dell.com and you type it in wrong and it looks legit, but it's not.
Yeah.
And you buy a computer and it doesn't show up.
Well, as Glass calls me the minister of culture on here, but I've ordained to do weddings. And years ago when I got ordained, there's a Universal Life Church, I think is what it's called, but there's also the Life Universal Church. Well, one is legit, as goofy as it sounds, to get ordained online. The other one is the fake that takes your money. And that they got $50 of mine umpteen years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great, Craig. That's why I didn't buy you dinner tonight. So you have to pay attention. And you're exactly right. It looks legit, but if you're not careful, you get a couple things flip-flopped and boom.
I catch myself looking at the URL every once in a while and making sure I'm at the right place.
Yeah.
I've been there where I've been to the wrong place. I've actually typed in information and I'm like, whoa, this is not the right place. And quickly back out.
Mm-hmm. Back out, you back up, you close. It doesn't even matter.
I typically would close the tab.
Okay.
It kills the process. So it depends upon the situation.
Okay.
Control W.
When in doubt.
In Windows.
Okay. So if somebody gets hit with one of these virus scams or whatever the case may be, what's the best next step for them to do?
If they don't have a backup, they're going to have a problem.
Yep.
If you don't have a backup, it's important. I really don't know how to. I would want to avoid paying the ransom.
Right.
But if you have no choice, and
you don't even know that the ransom that you pay is going to bring.
That's correct.
Craig Hickman from ProBlue IT. Always good information, sir.
I try.
You're good. You're just plain good. And the rookie of the year. From
yes, that's right.
Cook.
Yes. You missed my brisket.
I did. Well, much appreciation, man. Very, very much.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us. Sports action, Dr. Piller.
What do we got, Jim? We've got Hoosier baseball is what we've got.
Yes. Big,
winners,
long game.
Winners, losers at the beginning of the week. Lost to Minnesota on Wednesday, 5-4 in a very ugly, yuck, weather, terrible stuff. Mm-hmm. And then a controversial tag up on third base to score a run that was wiped off the board after an appeal play. No replay in college baseball. So Hoosiers lost on Wednesday. They beat Michigan. Well, nice upset. I would like to think solidified their spot in the NCAA tournament with that win. Back again right now, they're playing Minnesota over at the BART. So if you're listening to us at your tailgate party at the BART, well, thank you. If you're not, check out iuhoosiers.com after you're done with our show to see what the Hoosiers are up to. But again, playing Minnesota right now, Hoosiers lose, they're out. If they win, back at it again tomorrow. Details, again, will be on iuhoosiers.com. Michelle Gardner out is the IU women's softball coach. Great lady. Hoosiers coach for the last 9 years, three winning seasons during that time. Certainly wish Michelle and her family the best as they see what's next. But she had some time coaching in Nevada before coming here. And, right. And again, a great person, recruited some solid athletes to IU. Big Ten tournament will play out through Sunday, whether the Hoosiers are a part of it or not. So, again, if you want to see some great baseball, some nice weather coming our way tomorrow, get out there and check it out. And then the NCAA baseball regionals will be next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Highly unlikely that IU will be a part of hosting any of that. But stay tuned, and we'll see what happens next. Jim, Cubs first place. How about that? Oh, I like it. I like to see them back on the top of the standings. 25-21, a couple they swept the Reds, took 3 out of 4 from the Giants, and so now the Cubbies are on the West Coast playing the Dodgers this weekend. But the Reds are here on your radio tonight. As soon as we're finished, they were playing the Philadelphia Phillies. So check out Reds and Phillies from Philadelphia. Marty Brenneman, Cowboy Jeff Brantley will have your first pitch at 7:05, right at the top of the hour. What else we got, Jim, in sports? We've got local stuff. North defeated South in the softball semifinals. North is playing Shelbyville right now. Probably that'll be all wrapped up Friday night. So if you're listening on a Saturday morning, you'll know who won already. But Friday night, the Cougs hosting the Golden Bears of Shelbyville in the girls' softball sectional final. Congratulations to Mick Hammett and the folks over at Edgewood. They defeated Sullivan and won the girls' softball sectional for Edgewood. We've got North and South baseball right now on over at North for the boys' sectional. Oh, my gosh, Jim, I'm exhausted. I haven't even done anything. South girls won the track regional. North boys won the track regional. Lots of local kids from North, South, Edgewood, Brown County going to the state finals for the track state finals. So that's always awesome. So check that out. We've got NBA playoffs now. LeBron James topped Michael Jordan as the all-time leading scorer in NBA playoff games.
Right.
They've added extra games. LeBron's played in more. I'd like to see their averages, I think. That's probably the stat I'm missing. I don't know what that is. But LeBron has scored more points.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the mix of the news and everything. And it's not quite all – it's not even Steven, if you will.
Yeah, the number of games they've played, I don't know. I can't find it in here, but it's be an interesting stat. But anyway, LeBron and the Cavs are going to take on Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors for the third straight year. The Warriors won the first one. The Cavs, remember, came back from a 3-1 deficit last year, and now this will kind of be the rubber series of that matchup. And then really great game, Jim. I don't know how much, if at all, you follow hockey, but the Penguins beat the Senators last night, double overtime. To make it to a second Stanley Cup in a row. So hopefully the Pens will defend, but they're going to take on the Nashville Predators. That starts on Monday. First game is in Pittsburgh. It used to be called the Igloo when I was in high school over there, but now it's the PPG Paints Arena or something like that. I don't even know.
Rolls
but
off the tongue.
It sure does. Hey, how about David Ross? This has got to hit close to home to you.
I was going to ask about your wife, if she was following, if she follows all of the.
No, my mom dancing. Does. My mom loves Dancing with the Stars. Kelly, not so much into it, but my mom loves Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
And David Ross took second place, lost out to Rashard Lewis.
I don't know. I don't watch it.
I think
it,
so. An NFL football player won. But David Ross, a former catcher for the Cubs, Red Sox, Braves, Dodgers, a bunch of other teams.
Yep.
Grandpa Rossi, second place, first runner-up in Dancing with the Stars. Very, very neat and a fun thing for him. And, again, that just has to hit close to home with you and your salsa dancing and your history here.
Samba.
Oh, samba. I love salsa. Maybe that's why I was just thinking I'm hungry. It's dinner time, Jim.
It's all good, brother.
But anyway, lots of stuff going on. But the other big, obviously big event for the weekend.
Yes.
101st running of the Indianapolis 500. Beautiful carb day today. We got Keith Urban in concert. The Bare Naked Ladies were yesterday, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Clayton Anderson from Bloomington's been up there.
Clayton's been playing. So now we have the race itself. Coverage will start right here on the radio, on WGCL Radio, 11 o'clock until 4 o'clock. It'll be really, really great stuff. And so it's just not much as comes close to listening to the race on the radio. I think it's the way to do it. But
no more. Unfortunately, Florence Henderson has passed away. Jim Neighbors is unavailable to travel like he used to anymore. So some new voices on the entertainment pre-show, if you will. But
We'll start it up at 11, and the race itself is set to start, assuming weather permitting, at 12:19. So that will be pretty awesome. It'll be a great event.
It will. We're going to wrap up the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Few minutes left in the show, Dr. Piller.
Let's do it. Yep. Friday night, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 11 p.m. Patchy fog early, otherwise mostly cloudy, partly sunny, with a low around 64 tomorrow overall. You're going to get up to about 80 tomorrow, Jim. I like it. Sunday, showers, thunderstorms likely, mainly before 8 a.m., mostly cloudy, high near 78. Then Memorial Day, Monday and Tuesday, both beautiful, right around 80, sunny both days. WGCLradio.com, all your weather all the time.
Of course, the big things this weekend locally, it is at the Bart Kaufman Field IU Baseball Big Ten Tournament. And up in Indianapolis, 101st running, Indy 500. Coverage starts live at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, one more time, congratulations to the retirees from MCCSC. That was last school day for a lot of people yesterday, or today. Gosh, yesterday if you're with us Saturday morning, but today if you're with us Friday night, Dave Terwilliger, Maureen Martin from My Building, Betty Anderson, Fresca Sobre from North, amongst others, and of course, Peggy Chambers, Tim Thrasher, who have just been institutions for MCCSC for years, and Jan Bergeson as well. Larry Sparks, a bus driver. Some really wonderful people across the board in a lot of buildings that are retiring. So congratulations to them.
Also want to remind everybody, when you go to WGCLradio.com for the podcast and everything, you'll see a note. Colleague and friend Joe Smith had a recent accident, kept him off the airwaves recently. He is recuperating. We wish him all the best in his
recovery. Love you, Joe. Miss you, buddy.
You can leave a note of thanks and an appreciation to Joe, WGCLradio.com. So check that out. Anything exciting for Memorial Day?
You know what? Probably have the race on and hope the weather's nice on Monday and go hit some golf balls.
Sounds
short
like
and to the right, but we'll hit them.
Everybody have a great, safe weekend. Stay dry. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.